On this morning, I am wanting to get us started. We are getting ready to enter into a new study beginning on Tuesday evenings, and I'm wanting to get us started today as we prepare for that new study. Most of you have seen, and some of you have received, this book that we're going to be studying from, The Life You Were Reborn to Live. It's a book written by a gentleman by the name of Gary Thomas. And in this book, Gary deals with 12 lies that you and I need to dismantle so that we can experience the fullness of life in God through Christ. Don't miss that. It's the fullness of life in God through Christ. Amen. And so he deals with this idea, the life you were reborn to live. Realizing that many of us, let's be honest, many of us are not experiencing the fullness of the life that God wants us to live. Because we have bad definitions about what a fullness in life looks like. We have a tainted perspective of what the abundant life looks like. And because we don't know what we're looking for, we go chasing after the wrong things. Amen. And he does a masterful job of bringing these issues to the forefront. And then as we spend our time together, we're going to wrestle through what has been presented and exposed. And so today I want to deal with the idea of what does it mean to be reborn? What does it mean to be reborn? I have to warn you, I'm going to be in multiple places in the Bible today, giving you many scriptures and hopefully not camping out in any of them too long. You did catch that hopefully, right? Because you know you can get to and you get to reading and thinking about what the writer just said, and all of a sudden, man, you know I'll get stuck. So y'all pray, pray that I don't get stuck. Amen. Father, we just bow before you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to sing to you and about you. We declare that God, there is no one like you. God, you are awesome in wonder. God, you are holy and in a class all by yourself. God, you are full of love and compassion. Father, you are patient, so, so patient with us that you have provided an opportunity time and a time again for us, Lord, to be with you. And Father, we thank you for that. And we simply pray that now as we go into the exposition of your word, the proclamation of your word, Father, you will simply use my tongue to speak, Lord, to us, your people. Father, you would connect, Lord, my heart to your voice so that, God, I hear only what you want me to hear and convey, God, only what you want conveyed. Father, as we understand what it looks like to be reborn, the benefits of being reborn, that God, we will begin to experience the fullness of life in you through Jesus Christ. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the believers said, amen. Amen. One of the key thoughts that I want you to take away is this. To be reborn is to be under new management. and to have access to the operating system for which you were truly designed. That's what it means to be reborn. That person that you are, because you are spirit, soul, and body. That person that you are designed to operate under the influence, inspiration, and guidance of God's Spirit. When you become reborn, you're now in a position to receive the signal from God without interference. And the signal, when it reaches you, is able to cause the necessary output that brings about glory to God. That when God speaks to you, it is not wasted information that has been deposited, that has been downloaded, but that it goes through and it brings about the necessary output that says that you are a kingdom citizen, that you belong to the living God, and that he has given you purpose to be a blessing in somebody's life. Amen. To be reborn means that all of a sudden you have a direct connection to the Father. But not just that, you also have the filling of his Spirit that comes to live in you. First scripture I want you to go to today is a very familiar one, John chapter 3. And I want to talk about verses 1 through 8 because it's about a conversation that a man by the name of Nicodemus has with Jesus. Nicodemus, this man was a Pharisee and a part of the ruling, governing body of the Jewish community. And when Jesus came on the scene, they were disturbed by Jesus. They were disturbed by his approach. They were disturbed about the things he was teaching. But get this, more than that, they were disturbed by the power that he was demonstrating under the unctioning of the Spirit of God. Jesus showed up and he was turning their system upside down. And they were bothered by it. But Nicodemus said, I got to go and get a little bit more information. And so in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, we have this conversation. It's actually more than that, but this conversation that takes place between Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus goes to see Jesus at night. Because the other folk who were a part of Nicodemus's crew would have had issues if they had found out he was going to see him by day. What you doing hanging out with that radical joker? So Nicodemus went by night. And he had some complimentary words for Jesus. When he approached him, he said to him, Rabbi. Rabbi is a intimate term that students use to refer to someone as a teacher, acknowledging that he had this authority in scripture that needed to be acknowledged. So Nicodemus approaches him and says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. That's interesting because if you know this, right, why aren't you lining up to walk with him? Lining up to become a part of whatever it is he's doing. If you know he's from God, why are you fighting the system? Nicodemus says, for no one can perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Amen. So Jesus' teaching, Jesus' works are demonstrating that he has come from God. Because he is teaching with authority, first of all, and he's doing works that they realize this can't be done unless God was in the middle of it. And so he has the teaching as well as the signs to demonstrate that he is from God. When Jesus heard him say this, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is reborn. Now, your Bible is going to say born again, twice born. But since we're talking about reborn, I just thought it was appropriate to use the term reborn. Amen. First, Jesus says you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are reborn. So now it's important for you and I to understand we start talking about this idea of being reborn. We're talking about people who are able to see the kingdom of God, who are able to recognize where God is at work, who are able to recognize what God is doing are those who are reborn. So let me tell you, first of all, if you've been reborn and you've been talking about the move of God and people have not understood what you have been talking about, it could be that they are not yet reborn. You don't need to get mad at them because they don't understand what you're saying, that they don't see what you're seeing. It's just that their eyes have not been regenerated to be able to see things that come from the kingdom of God. When Jesus says this to Nicodemus, Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? That's a great question, Nicodemus. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. But Jesus, what are you talking about? I gotta be born again. Jesus again addresses Nicodemus's question. He says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. At first, Jesus said, you can't see. Now he says, you can't enter. You can't become a part of. You can't experience the kingdom of God unless you are born of water and of Spirit. Jesus goes on in verse 6 to expand upon this to help him understand. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And so when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about being born again, he's not talking to Nicodemus about his body being reborn again. He's dealing with some spiritual truths that make a difference in the life you live in the body. Amen? He's saying that something has to happen in order for you in this earthly body to be able to experience the kingdom of God, that you must, by the Spirit of God, be born again. So then if you're talking about my spirit being born again, that means that I have a spirit existing that needs to be regenerated so that it can produce the right results. And until my spirit is regenerated, I'm going to keep reproducing stuff that is inconsistent with the kingdom of God. Amen. That doesn't mean that I won't do good stuff sometimes. Amen. Doesn't mean that I won't be nice sometime. But normally when I'm doing good stuff and being nice in that nature, I always got a motive in mind. I'm always getting my hustle on somewhere. Either I'm making connections, building relationships. I'm either I'm making investments so that later on I can come back and get from you and say, you know what? You owe me. Because my niceness (laughs) My niceness had an impure motive with it. It was more than the continuing debt of love. It was like, let me make a deposit right here because I might have to come back later and make a withdrawal. Mm-hmm. And so I can do good sometimes, but when you are reborn and you come under new management, your motives change. When you are reborn and you come under new management, your instructions change and the way you do things change because no longer are you being controlled by a tainted, manipulated spirit. But now, if you will allow him, you will be in control by the one who is holy and righteous, pure, loving, compassionate, and not operating in selfish ambition. To be reborn means to be under new management, having access to the operating system for which you were truly designed. To live like you were reborn is to be called to live radically different than those who operate by the principles, the standards of this age and in the pursuit of this world. And since it is my spirit that is being reborn, because it is the spirit who is being put in me, he becomes the new manager over me. And in order for me to experience the fullness of what God desires for me to have, I must let him have control. Let me finish reading this scripture because we got to move to the next one, right? It says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. He says, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Jesus begins to help Nicodemus understand this, that the way you tell those who have been reborn is by what is produced in their lives. Amen. That means you can have a t-shirt on that says, twice born, I belong to Jesus. But your t-shirt could be lying. Could be lying. Because the one in the t-shirt could be operating in a way that does not operate or demonstrate kingdom principles, but instead espouses the theology of the age. And what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is that you don't go by the t-shirt. You watch and see what happens by the one wearing the t-shirt. Man, you guys have heard this joke before. It's amazing. You've heard this joke. There was an officer who was following this woman who had a bad day driving. People on the streets were really bothering her because of their driving. And she kept being all erratic in her behavior in response to their driver. She was fussing. She was cussing. And she had hand gestures for those who were not able to hear what she was saying. The officer that was behind her saw all of this and pulled her over. And when he pulled her over, she was like, "What's wrong?" He said, "License and registration, please." So he was like, just convinced that she was driving a stolen car. Because on the back, there was one of those little stickers. Talking about she was saved and sanctified. And when she was doing all of that erratic stuff, the officer said, that car cannot. It cannot belong to her. And so he had to pull her over. And to his dismay, the ID and the registration showed that it was her, but the behavior did not match what was on the sticker. See, when you've been actually twice born, when you've been reborn again, when you've been changed, when you're under new management, all of that old stuff, the old ways that you would respond with, right? They go out of the window because now you have a new manager. Amen? You have a new manager. So Jesus is reminding Nicodemus that it's not enough that you come and you compliment me, telling me that, you know what? You one heck of a teacher. We love the miracles that you're doing, but we just can't get with your program. He says, not enough to acknowledge that Jesus is all of that. You've got to believe in him. You've got to embrace his ways and his principles so that he can bring about the change in your life. Jesus does not expound upon how to be reborn in this text. But John chapter 3 is one of those scriptures that gives us a key verse in which every child of God, really every individual in the world really knows. John 3:16. That's kind of where Jesus goes, where John, he gives Nicodemus this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, you've acknowledged that I am a good teacher. You have acknowledged that I've done miracles. But what you need to know is that God sent me to do more than teach and do miracles. God actually sent me that I could redeem those who were lost. And anyone who would put their faith in me, who would put their confidence in me, who would put their trust in me, that I am who I say I am, can have life everlasting. Anyone who would believe in me would be able to come under a new operating system, because I will take your sins and forgive them, and I will come and live in you personally so that you are no longer controlled by your sinful nature, by the stuff outside of you, but there will be one on the inside of you that helps you to do right according to God's standard. So you and I have to come to grips that is those individuals who acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, those individuals who acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for our sins and paid a debt that we could not pay, those who acknowledge that death could not hold him, but on the third day he got up with all power in his hand, those who will confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in their hearts that God raised him from the dead will be reborn. Will be reborn. Jesus will come and live in them. It is in 2 Peter chapter 1. That we get insight from the Apostle Peter to help us understand some of the benefits from being reborn. 2 Peter chapter 1 at verse number 3, he says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So suddenly what happens is now that you've been reborn, you now have access, if you will, to everything that you need for life and for godliness. So if you have acknowledged that Jesus is the Son of God, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you now have everything that you need for life and for godliness. But keep reading because it says it comes through your knowledge of him. And so if you've been reborn, you know how it is when you are reborn. Now you are a babe in Christ. You are a babe in this new relationship. And now you've got to learn some things about the kingdom that you have now been born into in order to experience all the benefits that come from this new kingdom. He says, but get it straight that your connection with God through Christ Jesus has given you everything. Everything that you need. He had two things covered. Everything that you need for life and for godliness. Which means that it is not that I can do whatever I want to do when I want to do it to get whatever it is that I want or think that I need. Godliness means that I'm going to operate within the parameters and principles of the kingdom of God so that I can experience life according to the standard that God desires me to live. And if he has given me everything that I need for life, there is no need that I have that God won't meet. And that means that I don't have to go down crooked roads to get what he needs or what I need. That I don't have to pick up bad habits to get what I need. That I don't have to embrace the habits of the world. I ain't got to make a quick hustle to get what I need because he says that if you are in him, he has already given you everything that you need for life and for godliness. And your job and my job, when we become reborn, when we become born again, is to believe him and trust him enough to say that God, you said in your word, that I have everything that I need for life. Even when the ends ain't meeting. Amen. He's still giving me everything I need. Here's the problem. Sometimes what he has given is coming through somebody else. But because you are so full of pride, you can't receive it. Oh man, that's another message. I'm sorry. The problem is that that you and I won't take God at his word and stand on his word and say, God, this is what you said. And according to your word, you don't lie. I'm going to stand right here and wait until you deliver on what you said. That's because I live in a microwave society that says that, wait a minute, I put my order in. By the time I make it through the drive-thru and go up to the second window, it ought to be ready. So we've got to learn how to rethink and reevaluate the life that God has called us to live so that we can experience his best for us. So God has said that I've given you everything that you need for life and for godliness. He's given us very great and precious promises. God is not a man that he should lie. Everything that he has spoken will come to pass. He will do for us exactly what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, not on our schedule, but on his schedule. And so when you and I are reborn, we enter into a relationship with God whereby we are now getting information from God that helps us to reorient ourselves in the world in which we live in so that when we live, we're living in such a way that brings glory and honor to God, which means that my sinful nature, you remember that spirit that we talked about that you had before? That's part of your sinful nature, that thing that desires to pursue the things of this world. Now my sinful nature has to be brought under control. In fact, I've got to crucify myself daily. Amen. I've got to put my fleshly nature to death daily so that I can give authority to the Spirit of God to do what he wants to do in my life. Because he has called me to a new life. He has given me new identity. When I am reborn, I have new identity. The operating system, I'm calling him an operating system, and I hope he ain't offended. The Spirit of God is the new operating system that is now in me, controlling me, and bringing out some stuff that I didn't even know was there. And so when you and I are reborn, the Spirit enables us to live in light of our new identity. He renews our minds to see things from God's point of view so that we can then walk in the newness of life. The Spirit then uses the Word of God to deliver us from the viewpoints and perspectives and values of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so the Spirit comes and he is using the Word of God to reorient us so that we are now able to walk in the newness of life. And because our spirits have been made new, our souls are now ready to be saved. And so the Word of God says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. God has come and saved you, and now you've got to begin to work out that salvation with fear and trembling. You've got to allow his Word to untangle all the snarls of your soul so that you can now be whole in him. And a reborn person is the person who comes before God regularly saying to God, I trust you enough to let you have your way with me. I trust you enough to let you change the way I think. I trust you enough to let you love me and to let you teach me how to love someone else. I trust you enough to receive your forgiveness and then turn around and forgive others. I trust you enough to walk in truth and I'll stop lying like I used to lie, and I learned how to speak the truth in love. I love you enough, and I trust you enough to say that I will no longer be the captain of my soul. I will no longer be the one who tries to rule and control, but I will allow you to be the director of my life. I will allow you to conduct this symphony and bring out all of the beauty in which you are placed in me so that you will indeed get the glory. The Holy Spirit, when you and I yield to him, is able to untangle all the snarls in our souls. He is able to banish all of our complexes. And he is able to transform even our fixed habit patterns, no matter how deeply they are etched in our subconscious. As Corrie Ten Boom said it, God can fix you in me when we are reborn, so that he is glorified and he is honored. Amen. When you and I will allow him to become the manager of our lives, you know, construction projects are messy. Amen. When the new manager is coming in and doing demolition on stuff that's old and outdated, that's no longer working, it can get messy. So this process of being reborn, even though we talk about it in a quick, nice, pithy way, and we celebrate all the benefits of it, oh, it hurts a little bit. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts when you acknowledge that you are no longer in control, that you've got to surrender control in order to experience the best. It hurts a little bit. When the lies that you believed and operated in for so long are dismantled, it hurts. It hurts that you walked in that lie for so long, amen, and you thought you were smart, but you wasn't as smart as you thought you was. Because now that the truth is being revealed, you understand, man, I made a lot of bad decisions. I wasted a lot of time. I did some things that, you know what? I'm ashamed. Let's just be honest. I'm ashamed to tell folk that I did. I made some decisions that, I ain't going to talk about this. No. This shown up between me and the Lord. Because when you get truth, and you start to compare where you were to that truth, it does and it can bring that shame. But I'm so thankful that under your new management, he says, there's no condemnation against you. Under your new manager, he says, you ain't got to hold that thing in shame. In fact, I'll show you what I'll do. I'll take what you were embarrassed about and I'll use it to my glory if you would trust it in my hands. Under new management, he says, I'll take that thing that you thought was embarrassing and I will use it to bring glory and honor to my name. I will take that thing and show you that in the right hands, I'm a master restorer and I can do whatever I need to do if you will just allow me to have my way. When you and I will let the manager do what he wants to do, he will bring forth fruit. He will dismantle the lies and bring forth fruit so that you enjoy life where God has planted you and you become fruitful and a blessing to those around you so that all that you do becomes a blessing unto the Lord and brings glory and honor unto him. Brothers and sisters, we are about to embark upon this journey. It won't all be new information. When we start talking about the dismantling of these 12 lies so that you and I can live the life that we were reborn to live, it's not going to be new information. But can I tell you that information that has not been applied is of no benefit and does not produce the desired result. And so when you and I walk through this and we say, yep, I've heard that before. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Are you allowing yourself to be transformed so that God can do for you what he desires to do for you? That's what this journey is about. It's about us living the God life to the fullness that he has made available. Jesus said, I came that they may have life, that they might have it abundantly. The only way you and I can do that is by walking in truth. And as we embark upon this study will be about us debunking untruths that have controlled and ruled us in various areas of our lives so that we can walk in the fullness of what God desires. Amen. Amen. Being reborn, having an operating system, the Holy Spirit, that you were designed to operate under so that you experience God's best for your life. Amen. Amen. I've been excited about football season, guys. I like football. It's a shame, but I do. First lady like, oh my goodness, he does, y'all. If I could, I have every one of my TVs on football. She won't let me. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. She's twisted. But you know, the one thing about a football team is that every member of that team has been invited to come and participate. Now, there are some who will walk on who said that I didn't get an invitation to have an opportunity to walk on and become a part of the team. The coach will say, okay, you can come and try out. If you meet the qualifications, if you meet the satisfactions, the standards of this team, then you know what? We'll make you a part of this team. If your skill set is good enough to be a part of this team, will make you a part of this team. But every player that is invited and every player that walks on must adhere to the rules and standards of that particular team. Amen? You cannot come and say that you're going to play for the Tulsa Hurricanes, for TU, and decide that you're going to put on OU's jersey. I'm going to wear OU's jersey. I want to play TU football. I couldn't make it at OU, so I'm going to come and play at TU. And I want to wear my TU. That's crazy, ain't it? That's crazy. You've got to adhere to their practice schedule, their game schedule. You've got to adhere to their rules if you're going to be a part of that team. Amen? There's a set of standards that have to be applied and adhered to. It's no different when you're being reborn. You can't claim that I can come to God any way that I want to come to God and just become a part of his family. You can't just use that old line, he said, come as you are. Well, he does. He says, come as you are. But when you show up, he's got a change of clothes for you. Amen. And if you're not willing to take the change of clothes and put them on, then you cannot become a part of the family and you will not be reborn. Amen. And he's saying to each one of us, there's an open invitation for you to be reborn and come and be a part of my family, to have a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ so that your life will never, ever be the same. He's saying that there is only one way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus said, you can't go around him and try to claim God. You can't go over him and try to claim God. You've got to come through him in order for you to be in right relationship with God. So if you're uncertain about whether or not you've been reborn, if you don't know if you are a part of the family, I extend to you this invitation to come to God through the person of Jesus Christ and be born again. It only requires those two things that we talked about earlier. First, that you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Secondly, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That means that he was crucified, he died, but death could not hold him because God raised him from the dead. If you do those two things, Jesus says, you will be born again and in right relationship with the Father.